Hopefully, we're just going to look at one verse. That's hard to do when there ain't but six in the whole chapter. Amen. I've been thinking on this, and I don't need to get too far ahead of myself. Psalm 23 and verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for what You've given to us in it. Lord, I pray that You will give me power as I preach. You would recall to my memory what I've studied. Lord, let me preach in Your ability and in Your spirit. God, help our people. Help our church. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to look at specifically verse number 3. And last Sunday night, I believe it was, I used verse number 3. He restoreth my soul. And we looked at the ways that the Lord restores our soul. But then there's another part of that verse that has been sticking with me. And I just ain't been able to get past it. I as much as I try, I just can't get past it. I've been dwelling on it, and I thank God for it, but the part is, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now, I've pondered on this verse, and mostly the latter half of it. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I have thought, what does it mean? What significance do these words hold for my life individually? And why are my thoughts so captivated by such a simple, common sentence? He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. It was the first psalm that I ever memorized. In Vacation Bible School, years ago, I had to memorize the 23rd Psalm. And while my mind doesn't allow me to say it all by memory, I just about can still to this day, and I thank God for that. The psalm itself is probably the most well-known of them all. It's commonly referred to as the Shepherd's Psalm, and it is a psalm of David. Now, what that means is that the second king of Israel is the author. I got to thinking about that when I read over this passage. You know, a lot of times we read, we people that regularly attend, or we Bible readers, we'll read over a passage in the Bible, and we'll see that, a Psalm of David, and we just assume that everybody knows who David was. But there might be somebody sitting in here in this room that you don't know who David was in the Bible. You don't understand the significance of that. And so I want to give you that. He was the second king of Israel. He was preceded by Saul, S-A-U-L, who was head and shoulders above everybody else. But because of disobedience, Saul lost the kingdom. And God anointed David as king while Saul was still alive, and then appointed him as king while him and Saul were in the midst of a battle. And the Bible tells us that Saul eventually died, and Saul's family, most of them died. There were a few of them that were left behind. And then David assumed the throne, but David did not assume the throne without trouble. He had trouble all the days of his life because he was a warrior. He was a bloody man, as the Bible would say about him. And so because of this, this man was the psalmist here because of his life experience. Now, he started out as a shepherd. That's why it's referred to as the Shepherd Psalm. He writes of the God that he served with an understanding of a shepherd's life and work. Now, the exact date of Psalms 23 is not known, but it is believed to be around 1,000 BC or 1,000 years before Christ walked on the earth, when David was a mature king looking back over his life and his experience. And as he was doing this and considering his life and his experience, if I can just give you a brief thing about the whole 23rd Psalm, is he went back in his mind and he remembered the tender care that was provided by shepherds to the sheep, and he penned these sacred words. He mused of our God, how that the Lord was his shepherd and that he would never be in want. He pondered on green pastures, still waters, soul restoration, in right paths, and proclaimed that that is where God did lead him. He remembered the times death had knocked at his door and declared that fear had not won, for God had stood with him each and every time. He thought of the times that he had sweet fellowship with the Father, even as his enemies circled around him, and how that God had given grace in abundance while the enemy wanted to rob everything off of the table that God had prepared for him there. He had confidence that the rest of his days would be that of goodness and mercy all for his whole life. He would endure, he would live in goodness and mercy and the endearment of the Lord. Amen. David understood the provision of a shepherd. He was well acquainted with the reputation of what a good shepherd was, and he had personal knowledge of how a flock looked that was led by a good shepherd, and that's why he was able to pen the words that I've been thinking on this week, and I hope that you've heard already. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now look with me there at verse number 3. I just gave you a brief summary of the chapter there without reading it again. But he penned these words, he leadeth me. Now, of course, the word he is referring to the term the Lord that is mentioned in verse number 1. He knew exactly who it was that was leading him. See, the Lord there is a term that you and I know as Jehovah. There is some disagreement about the pronunciation of the word. The word is YHWH is the Hebrew word, and so there's some disagreement about the pronunciation, and I don't think God cares how we pronounce it, provided that we're referring to him. Amen. Last time I checked, nobody in the American Gateway, at least in Gateway Baptist Church, was a Hebrew scholar that had full understanding of the Hebrew language. Now, if you are, good for you. I would sure like to sit down and we can discuss some things. Maybe you can help me with my pronunciation. Amen. But YHWH is pronounced in some dialects of Hebrew is Jehovah. In others, it is pronounced Yahweh. In some, it is pronounced Adonai. Oh, y'all didn't know about that third one, did you? Amen. You knew about those first two because they're pretty common and they're buzzwords a lot in the church, but they're not the only thing. There are some other terms and some other things that represent YHWH, and let me say this concerning that one word. It is used throughout every time period of the Bible. And so when David said, "The Lord is my shepherd," he was talking about Jehovah God, the God of covenant, the everlasting Father, the Alpha and the Omega, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Ancient of days, the Creator, the all-sufficient one, the all-knowing one. It is the title used every time in the Bible to describe him. He always has been, and he always will be, and that is who David said was leading him. God was leading David. He leadeth me. Now that little word leadeth, it's a good one too. It's a Hebrew word, naha. And I guess the way that you can remember it is it was pronounced something like we would say nuh-uh down here in the South, amen, but it's naha. And so naha simply means to lead, but it doesn't only mean to lead.
See, you can be the line leader, but that doesn't mean that you're the line guider. Amen? That word nahal means not only to lead, but to guide. You teachers that are in the congregation this morning, you know how you've had that one kid, they want to be the line leader. Man, that's a coveted position in elementary school, to be the line leader. I get to be the first one to go. I get to be the one to lead the line. But I've noticed something, is that the line leader is leading, but it's the teacher that's guiding the class. Y'all ever seen that? Let me be the line leader. Let me be out in front, but it's the teacher that's down the hall after every one of them had come by that says, stop. And it's kind of funny when you're in them elementary schools because the teachers don't just say stop one time. They say stop, stop, stop. Line leader, stop on that line. It's repetitive, and this happens every single day. Amen. You go walk around them elementary schools, and that's what you hear over and over again. And so while the leader thinks that they're leading, really it is the being that is outside of the line that is leading and guiding as they're going down on their little journey there in that school building. Amen. And so that is the meaning that the Lord has here when the Bible says that He leadeth us. Not only is He leading us in the direction and the path that we should go, but He is the guide giving us directions. See, shepherds would lead, and as they led, they would lead from the front. Shepherds, I don't know if you guys know this or not, cattle are often driven. That's why there are things called cattle prods. Get them moving in the direction that you want them to go. Amen? But sheep are not prodded, they are led. And so they look at their leader, that shepherd is walking down the path. We're going to talk about paths here in just a minute. But he's walking down that path, and as that shepherd walks down the path, it is the sheep's job to keep their eye on the shepherd as he leads them. But how he becomes the guide is when those little sheep decide that they see a patch of green grass they want to go after, or maybe they see something that catches their attention, catches them off guard, and that little sheep just gets out of the line and goes over there and starts munching on that green grass or starts exploring whatever that was, or maybe it sees a place that it thinks is neat, and that little old dumb sheep will walk off out of the path and out of the line, and that precious old shepherd will look back over that line and he counts them sheep. He knows every one of them, and they know him and they know his voice. And so when he realizes that one of them has wandered off, that guide will step out of that position and he'll walk down around and find the one that is out of the way, and he will retrieve them and guide them back to where they need to be. It's a whole lot more than just being led. It is being guided by the shepherd. I hope you're seeing the application there. It is so much more when you're serving the Lord to allow Him to lead you. But not only is He leading you in the direction that He wants you to go, but He will guide you when you become misguided by something flashy that comes along your way. You know, it's real easy for that little sheep to get misguided by that patch of green grass that doesn't last too long. It's real easy for that sheep to get misguided by maybe another sheep bleeding off in the side or making some noise or something that fears them. Sometimes sheep will be so overcome with fear that they will stop in their tracks and they will not move until the guide gets on the scene and picks them up and carries them back to where they need to be. Thank God the psalmist said, He leadeth me. And then me, of course, was talking about David, but he can mean you too. He, Jehovah God, leads and guides you. What a wonderful, wonderful Father we have, our good God that we have. He leadeth me. Now watch this. In the paths. P-A-T-H-S. Paths. Now that word path, it seems very simple, and I believe that we think that we have an understanding of the path. Sometimes we want to be more of a trailblazer than we do want to be a path follower. And that's a dangerous place to be. I'm all for innovation. But if you trailblaze too much, you're liable to get lost. Because all them trees in the forest start looking the same. If you go off out in the left field somewhere, you might not be able to find your way back, but thank God for the shepherd that knows where you're at and can hear you when you call. But the word pass, and you provide, forgive me, I can't provide for you the pronunciation in the Hebrew of the word for the word pass, or it's actually the phrase in the pass, but it means this. It means that it is a place that is well trodden and packed down. I like to run. I'm not big on trail running, but I guess I do it every so often. But you go over to a trail and you're in a trail race and they tell you this: don't leave the trail. Because they know that your well-being depends on whether or not you stay on the trail. And here's what's happened. If you decide that you want to, maybe you see somebody over through the woods, there's a trail that it's, I don't know, 40, 50, 75 feet away from you, and you see them over there, you can see them running through the woods, and your mind says, that's the same trail that I'm on. I can just cut some time out if I cut through this little wooded area and I can get over there to that trail and I can maybe cut some time off of my trail run or whatever. But what you don't know is you was running on the red trail and that's the blue trail. See, the path that the Lord is leading you on might not be the path that He's leading somebody else on, even though it's well established. And so that word pass carries the meaning of a well-trodden, well-established area. It even goes any further than that, and it has the meaning that we sing in our national anthem, a word that we use. It has the meaning of a rampart. Now, do y'all know what that word is, a rampart? It's a military term, or can be used as a military term, of a place where you could find safety from whatever was on the other side. And so imagine a well-established path that has large bunkers maybe on each side of it that protect you from everything that would come your way. Y'all still with me? The Lord's leading you down that road. It even has the meaning of a cleft of a rock. You walk alongside. Imagine this pulpit is a cleft. It's a cleft. It goes all the way up, and I'm going to do everything I can. There's a storm brewing. I'm going to get as close to the base of that rock, to the base of that cleft, as I possibly can, so that as I walk, I stay in the good path, and I don't get any storm on me while I'm walking down through there. It carries the meaning of being protected while you're walking with the Lord. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. A place of protection is where God leads you. A place of security is where God leads you. A place of having your needs met is where God leads you. Y'all okay? A place of knowing who the shepherd is and knowing the shepherd's voice on this well-established path. And when you decide that you've had enough of that path and you want to go up the hill and go across the woods and get onto a path that ain't yours, friend of mine, you're asking for trouble and you're getting out from up under the protection of God that He has designed for you. The path of righteousness. Leave me in the path of righteousness. You go back in the Old Testament. See, we don't get to choose our path. We like to think we do. We like to think that when we're going down through there that, well, I chose this red trail, I'll just stay on it. Let's talk about trails. Red trail is the longest trail. That's why it's red. And so you look at it and you go, I'll just go on the red trail because I like the color red. The blue trail is the short trail. But you want more than that. So you think you pick a path. You jumped over the yellow, went straight to red. That means it's the most technical. That means it has more roots growing across there. And if you don't think a root will get you, if you don't think it's a snake in the middle of summer, you'll trip over that booger. If you don't pick your feet up and walk, you'll fall flat on your face. And then you find yourself needing assistance. And you might be able to pick yourself up a little bit, but you're rubbing dirt off of your elbows and off of the palms of your hands, and you're rubbing sweat off of your face, and you're just trying to orient yourself again, all because you think you chose the path that you were on. You could have stayed in the protection of the Lord, but you didn't. And so, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. We don't get to choose those paths, so you go all the way back in the Bible, and you look at men like Noah. God said, Noah, I want you to build an ark. Now, it never rained on earth before. And so God told Noah, I want you to build an ark because I'm going to flood the earth. It never rained, y'all. Where's the flood going to come from? Before that, here's the sad thing. Some of you don't even know how the earth was watered prior to the flood because you've never cared enough to read the account in Genesis. That's sad. And so, the Lord is going to send rain from the skies. And that had never been done before. It had never been heard before. But that was a path of righteousness that Noah had to follow the Lord on. You look at Abraham. He's 75 years old. God says, I want you to uproot yourself from your home, and I want you to go out, and I want you to multiply all over the earth. And I'm going to make you the father of many nations. And he uprooted himself. He went on a path. Y'all with me still? He went on a path. He didn't choose his path. He went on the path that God directed him on. Moses there. All right, let's go back to Joseph before we get into Moses, because there's 400 years between Joseph and Moses. And you go back to Joseph. He's the youngest he's the next to the youngest of those 12 brothers. And they get upset with him because he has a dream about what's happening, about his parents doing ambiance and his family doing ambiance to him. And God was preparing him and getting him ready. And then his brothers sold him into slavery. He went into Egypt, and God took him in that path. And he was called a righteous man. The path of righteousness. Y'all still with me? Moses, born to his mother, put in the little ark pitched with slime, and set out on the river. And God led him there to come up to a place where Pharaoh's daughter was in the water, and God provided for Moses an incredible childhood. He got the best education. He got the best home. He had the greatest thing, but he never was an Egyptian. He was a Hebrew. Amen. And when it came time for him to leave, he had to leave more. Moses left a whole lot more than just his homeland. He left the woman that he had knew as a mother that loved him. He had left the home and the family that he had knew. He left his education behind. He left his stature as a Egyptian behind. He left all of that behind. And he went in the path that God had chose for him. And the Bible calls Moses a friend of God. The path of righteousness. Look at Elijah. Here's Elijah in the Word of God, that fiery prophet of God. I know there were some people between Moses and Elijah, but we're trying to hit the high points. Y'all okay? You go to Elijah. God told Elijah, I want you to preach against Ahab. And Ahab, now this sounds familiar today. Ahab said, art thou he who troubleth Israel? Isn't it amazing that the godly folks is always the ones causing trouble for the worldly ones? Art thou he that troubleth Israel? I don't think Elijah grew up wanting to be the guy known as the guy that caused trouble for Israel. He wanted to be the guy that was known as the guy who loved God. And he preached against Ahab and against Jezebel. And he preached against those prophets there on the mount that day. And he saw God do an incredible thing. It was God that sent the fire down. We say Elijah called fire down, but really Elijah prayed and God sent the fire. And immediately after that, he ran and pouted up under the juniper tree. It's usually right after the great spiritual battles that God wins in our life that we forget who He is and go, you know what? That's a path of righteousness. God still sustained him. God still took care of him. That's an incredible story in itself. His protege, Elisha, an incredible story throughout the Word of God. John the Baptist, who had the spirit of Elijah as he preached and had the great power with God. The Apostle Paul, Timothy, Titus, all of those preachers, all of those men, all of those characters from the Word of God that God did great things with and led them in the path. I excluded the ladies, didn't I? How about we talk about old Rahab? Rahab the, y'all say it with me, harlot. How in the world could God get glory out of that? Well, I'll tell you, she chose a path of righteousness. When the spies came in there, amen, God put her in the path of righteousness. Thank God he did that, and she was saved in her house when the walls of Jericho come down, and we find her in the lineage of Jesus. Rahab the harlot. But God worked that thing for her glory because that was her path of righteousness that God brought her to. My, what an incredible God we serve. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, and he takes each and every one of us. You look around this room, every one of us have a path of righteousness that God is leading you on and wants you to stay on and wants you to be on so that you can go the way that he wants you to go. That's what God wants, but here's why he's doing it. Y'all ready for this one? For his name's sake. Christian, on the inside of you, God has set his Holy Spirit. Paul said in the book of Galatians, I bear in my body the marks of Christ Jesus. Now, I believe those were physical marks, Brother John, that he had on his body where he had served God fervently. I believe that's what that was physical marks. But there are some spiritual marks in Christians that should denote to the world what and who it is that we follow. Because we are, and they were first called Christians at Berea? Antioch, thank you. They were first called Christians at Antioch. And so you have these Christians that were meant to be mocked. Hey, they're acting like Christ. They're preaching Christ. They're living like Christ. And that's his name's sake. See, God has placed his name on your life. And when you allow him to lead you, he does so that his name looks good. You ever do a job, do some work, and you make it look kind of sloppy? Somebody comes in and says, who in the world did that? And you realize that maybe your work wasn't quite as good as it could have been, didn't look quite as good as it should have. You put your name on that. You okay? You know, it could look a whole lot better. I did something, man. I was just trying to get done with the day. One day I was doing some flooring in a building. I was just trying to get done. There was a piece of flooring that was missing. It was about a half inch wide, and you wouldn't be able to see it really good, but I was just done. Man, I was ready to go home. I know y'all ain't never had one of them work days, have you? And I just done just enough, and my supervisor come by, and he said, do you really want every time somebody walks by this doorway to say, Josh did that? Are you really okay with every time somebody walks through this door, and it's a high traffic area, that they look down there and they say, I know the guy that did that. That's a representation of who he is. You and I as Christians, we are a representation of who he is. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God is leading you and I because he knows that he's put his name on us and on our lives. And what we do, how we act, how we live is a representation of the King. Just like it's a representation of Gateway Baptist Church. Amen. I've said this for years. You go out to eat Sunday afternoon, I'm glad. I hope you enjoy your meal. But if you ill and you angry and you mean to that little waitress or little waiter, you better not leave a Gateway Baptist Church track on that table when you get up to leave. If you ugly to her because she didn't fill your tea up, don't you associate yourself with Gateway. Amen? I get mad about it too. But if I'm going to leave a gospel track, I'm going to leave a healthy tip. If I'm going to tell them about my church, I'm going to be nice. You're not going to look at somebody and be ugly to them and then tell them how great of a church you got. You're not going to look at somebody, be ugly to them, and then tell them exactly how good your God is. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The things that God leads me through are for His name's sake, so that I am a representation of Him. You are a representation of Him. Our church is a representation of Him, of the King of Kings, of the Lord of Lords, of the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the wise one. I like the Ancient of the Days. I believe that's my favorite name for God, the Ancient of the Days. And I don't even really know why. It's just something that I like. It's what Daniel called Him, the Ancient of the Days. Before time was, He was. Before what we understand is the concept of time, and our finite minds have the understanding of eternity, or what we think. See, our idea of forever is really as long as we live. We don't understand the full word or the full definition of forever. We're talking about time past and time to come. And God operates outside of that because He created that. That's who it is that's leading us in the paths of righteousness. For His name's sake. Are you living as a good representation of His name's sake? You come to the end of the day. Do you want somebody to walk by and say, I know the guy that did that? Or do you want somebody to say, I know the guy that did that? He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Heavenly Father, thank You for who You are, what You're doing. Thank You for our church. Thank You for our people. God, I pray that as this service has happened today, God, that it has all been according to Your wonderful will. We thank You, Lord, that Your ways are higher than our ways, that You know more than we do, that You understand more than we do, that Your thoughts are greater than our thoughts. Lord, we're so grateful to who You are. Help us, Lord, to be good representatives of Your name, to follow You as You lead us, to serve You as You guide us, and to be obedient to You, Lord, as You direct our paths. Lord, You told us that if we'd trust in You with all of our heart, and lean not to our own understanding, but acknowledge You in all our ways, that You would direct our paths. And so, Father, direct us in the way that You would have us to go. Father, help in this invitation time. In Jesus' name, would You stand with us this morning?